everyone. Please pray with me the prayer for illumination. Dear Jesus, you promised us, ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. We now ask, seek, and knock that the door to your heavenly kingdom will be opened to us as we hear the scriptures. Amen. And the scripture reading for today comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep, or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with a voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. The word of the Lord.
Joseph's only been a member of our church forever. But thank you for that, Elder Joseph. Today is our 23rd Sunday after Pentecost, but also it's Stewardship Sunday. And it's kind of a strange thing to call one Sunday Stewardship Sunday. Every day is Stewardship Day before the Lord. It really means that, not that we serve God, of course, stewardship comes from the word steward, to serve, but it means that we follow God. And the strange thing about the God that we believe, I'm not sure about what others believe, but that we believe about our God is that our God is a servant. It's a very, very strange notion, actually, among the history of various religions. And I'm not talking about any religion, religious supremacy of any kind, God forbid. But I am saying that the God that we worship is unique, in that the God of the Bible portrays the divine character as fundamentally that of a steward. And Jesus demonstrates this most vividly when, before he goes to fulfill his destiny to die on the cross for our sake and to be raised to new life, that he literally gets on his knees and ties a towel around himself and washes his disciples' feet. And he says, I came not to serve. I came not to be served, but to serve, the word of the Lord. And this is why we seek to become more and more faithful stewards. It's not that God really needs anything from us, if we think about it. It's that it's in our best interest. We do better. We're happier when we model ourselves after God, the God of the universe, whose fundamental orientation is to serve, is to steward God's own creation and all of us who are the handiwork of God. So we have a couple of testimonies today from longtime members of our church, and then Elder Joseph Kong, who has served faithfully as our church treasurer for a while now, will also share some words from that perspective. So I'm going to ask Tao Huang to come and share with us what stewardship has meant for her.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I'm Tao Huang. I am a deacon, and I serve on staff as the nursery director. And I'm married to Paul Huang, and we have two kids. Aaron is 5, and Joshua is 1.5 years. My first worship service that I attended was actually the Thanksgiving service at the Korean Presbyterian Church of Minnesota in the English ministry in 2002. I was with the English ministry until we became Church of All Nations in 2004. So by next week's service, I have attended church for 15 years and hardly ever missed a Sunday. I grew up in a broken home. My mom came to the United States from Vietnam when she was around 12 years old and ended up in foster care because my grandfather was killed on their way here. My mother had me when she was 16, and I had a tough childhood. I had to grow up fast because my mom worked a lot. And when she wasn't working, she was out gambling, trying to make fast money, or hanging out with her friends. It was miserable for me. I had to be mom to my 3 younger siblings because I was around and my mom wasn't. I told myself that I just needed to survive this part of my life, and that when I turn 18, things will be better. Well, I turned 18, and I was kicked out of my house because I refused to be in an arranged marriage for money that would help my mom out. I ended up taking out a $10,000 school loan to help her out anyway, out of guilt. I was working 2 jobs and going to school full time, and my heart was physically hurting. I thought my heart was hurting because of a pre-existing heart condition I had when I was 8 that I almost died from. And looking back, I think my heart was just broken. I got into medical debt for doing a bunch of medical tests and trying different meds, thinking it would help. It did not help. I was a wreck when I came to this church. Pastor Jin wanted me to meet with him, and Ben Park graciously offered to take me. And after 4 hours, I became a Christian. Pastor Jin told me that God loves me no matter what, and I don't have to do anything anymore. I felt peace for the first time in my life, and shortly after that, I fell in love with this church. This church became my family. This church knew I was struggling with my medical debt of about $800, and at 19 years old and growing up poor and hating money, it was a scary feeling knowing I had just got out of high school and I owed close to $11,000. But the church paid my medical bills for me so that I have one less thing to worry about. After that, instead of working 2 jobs, the church offered me a job as administrative assistant. I love being at church because it was a safe place for me. I would find ways to be at church. So if I wasn't working, I was serving in the college ministry, youth ministry, and I was even in choir for a year. I felt really bad for the choir director, but I only did it for 1 year. This church really took care of me, and Pastor Jin took me in as his daughter because I never had a father. This church really became my only family. When I got married, the only people that I wanted there was this church. And I got married on a Sunday during the worship service. Pastor Jin even walked me down the aisle. Marrying Paul was one of the best days of my life. But I was also mad because he took a call in Houston to be an English ministry pastor, and I had to leave my church. So when we were in Houston, we were working at a Korean church, and they wanted us to bring back their children as they had left due to the conflicts in the church. Since we only had a handful of Korean children to minister to, we ended up reaching out to the Hispanic neighbors. We succeeded in bringing all these students to our church. We were eventually pushed out of our church after 6 years of trying to convince them that church is for all of God's people and not just Koreans. We got into a lot of debt because our pay kept getting cut, our ministry budget was cut, and we spent a lot of our own money on our students. We came back here with a lot of debt, which was about $25,000 in credit card and student loan debt. But we were very fortunate that when we came back here, instead of getting into more debt, Steve and Amanda Rangham let us live with them rent-free for 1.5 years. We aggressively paid off debt while Paul worked part-time here as youth pastor and full-time as a chaplain resident. We finished paying off our debt shortly after we moved out of the Ringhams and into Pastor Jen's. Now we're living with Pastor Jen and his family and are able to save money for the first time. But through the guidance of Pastor Jen from the very beginning and through the generosity of this church, we now have the freedom to do what we love and to invest in what we love, this church. We no longer have debt to consume our thoughts and time. We have committed our lives to this community. We are investing in this church because you are my family. And I want the best for my children, and the best thing for them is to grow up in this church, just like I have. This is what I learned from the Korean church. Even though I was traumatized by them in a lot of ways, I'm also grateful to them because my faith started in the Korean church. They have taught me how to be faithful through prayers, going to church every Sunday, serving and giving 10% to the church. It's incredibly hard to be faithful when life is so hard. It's tough to think about giving 10% to the church when you're in debt or struggling, but you do it because you trust in God. And the hardships are not forever, but God is. God only wants us to love God and to love God's people. I know God is love because I ended up here at this church. I know that 10% that we give goes to loving God's people. And I know that because I've been blessed by this church for the past 15 years. You do what you do for your family, and instead of doing these things out of guilt, like what I did growing up, I'm doing it because of my love for God and this church. I've learned that no family is perfect, but it's a lifetime of work to be family. I hardly ever miss a Sunday because I look forward to being here. It's the best part of my week, every week. Even though I'm not in service anymore because I'm in the kitchen with Hikari, I am blessed to be able to spend my time cooking and seeing all of you for lunch. My heart is no longer broken, but healed and full. So I take my stewardship very seriously. God had entrusted this church family to me, and I want to spend my life caring for it. Thank you.
Good morning, church. My name is Kendra Perez. I am the daughter of Nancy and Daryl Allen, wife to Daniel Perez, and most recently, mother to Sebastian. And let me say, it's such a pleasure to be here talking with all of you this morning. You are my family, my grandmother's, sorry, he's probably pretty upset. My grandmother's, my uncles, my sisters, and kids, and I love you all. If you've been around for a while, you know that I'm not afraid to talk. And like my father, I'm not afraid to tell others what to do. But today, my goal is not to add to any malingering lists of shoulds hanging around you. These are the things that have worked in my life, and I share them as a testimony of hope and encouragement. To start, if you have been around for a while, or if you've been around not very long at all, you probably have met my parents, Deacon Daryl Allen and Elder Nancy Allen. From childhood, they taught me that stewardship is not always comfortable and it is not always fun. Among hosting hundreds of meals, moving houses of boxes, and cleaning up after dozens of potlucks, it was crystal clear to me as a child that my time and resources were not for my own benefit alone. Still, we were encouraged to do it with gratitude, partially for the present opportunity to connect with someone, thanks to my dad, but also out of gratitude to those who were generous with us. And we make sure to tell those stories often. I know the stories of the Smiths, who had six kids of their own and still hosted us for so many meals when I was a toddler. There was the Nelsons, who treated us like grandchildren when my own grandparents were too far to visit. I remember Johanna and Becky, who were seniors in high school that let my sweaty seventh grade self hang out with them and feel welcomed. There's also rich fodder for stories out of extending ourselves in stewardship. We'd regularly give another woman a ride to church, even though the five of us already filled our station wagon. This is a while ago. So I'd get put in the trunk. My parents say they'd ask, Kendra, are you ready? And I'd say, yep. And no matter how carefully they accelerated, I inevitably whacked my head on the window pane. Being resourceful Canadians, I ended up in a hockey helmet along with my Sunday best. Since my time was not mine alone, it wasn't a huge leap to tithe my money either. It's just not all mine, so I might as well pass it back. And I'll be honest, with that as my background, the financial piece of stewardship just hasn't been as much of a challenge for me. When I was 18 years old, I started attending Church of All Nations, which was now 10 and a half years ago. So I've learned a few things about stewardship here too. One of the first was that giving time and energy is not an obligation. As part of my upbringing, a lot of service wasn't particularly optional, so it took a while to not feel like I had to say yes. And growing up in the stew of this society, I had to learn that my worth to the community is not tied to what I produce. There were a couple of years where Dana intentionally did not ask me for help because she knew that I'd say yes out of a sense of obligation. So she waited until I could say no, even though I still like to say yes. On the other hand, serving in community has also helped me combat my self-judgment and provided me some opportunities to grow. For example, while corralling two-year-olds in the nursery, you can't really stay stuck in my own head trying to decide whether others are judging me as much as I'm judging myself, because there's two-year-olds running around, gonna run into something or each other. That mind space made room for me to internalize the idea that God does not judge me for being me, just the way, same way I don't judge a two-year-old for not being able to articulate themselves or sit still. Same way I can trust that I don't need to judge myself for being 29 and still working to figure stuff out. Also, was able to internalize that serving should never be done to seek your own importance or significance. Because once again, with these nursery kids, they are adorable, but they can be very finicky. One week you're their favorite, and the next they still sob for their parents for them to stay. Let's say adults aren't always a whole lot better. Our regular conversations about white supremacy, individualism, and capitalism have also shaped the way that I think about tithing. This society tells me that it's my responsibility to take care of myself and to save up for my future. I am encouraged to despise the poor stuck in systemic cycles of poverty, to despise the college student saddled with tens of thousands of dollars in debt, and to despise the elderly who didn't anticipate their healthcare costs correctly. And if anything were to befall me, I should definitely despise myself. But that is not of God. And while our church maybe isn't quite ready to go all Bruderhof and like common purse here in the Twin Cities, I firmly believe that tithing is a revolutionary act against these oppressive systems. Because when we contribute to one another, we can take care of each other. And as a side note about the money spent by our church, I also processed our accounts payable for 2.5 years, and I was regularly humbled by how our staff and leaders steward our financial resources week by week to care for everyone in our community. They also cannot read minds, so if you do have a need, please reach out to someone. Finally, even though I haven't known him as long, I've already learned a lot from Daniel about stewardship. First of all, serving fully out of who you are right now is incredibly life-giving, and life is too short to work out of obligation. I know I already talked about obligation, but it's taking a couple tries to get that one to stick. Seeing how Daniel will jump right into something with passion, carry forward with astonishing energy, and then completely comfortably stop when he no longer has space for it was like a splash of cold water in my face. It seems so brazen. But more than being about obligation, it's about being fully himself in the full present. My own anxiety makes that last bit extra challenging, so I'm very grateful for Daniel's leadership in that. And goodness gracious, that man has faith. It's really annoying sometimes. He didn't go to church for 13 years before we started dating, and yet he's the one who reminds me to more deeply trust God. While society tells me to control my finances or to treat God like a fairy godmother of the wealth and health gospel, Daniel encourages me to act in real faith. That being said, he's also taught me that starting to tithe can be a challenge, when the choice was to keep his tithe money or marry me, he doesn't seem to regret his decision. He's also found a passion for budgeting and really enjoys talking about finances. So if you'd like to hear more about his journey with that, please feel free to talk to him about it. So here I am now. I hope that I'll share what I've learned with Sebastian and the other youth in our church. But I'm confident that when I do fail, I'll have this community also stewarding our children to maturity. Thank you.
Good morning. I feel like I gotta introduce myself too. I'm Joseph Kong. I'm married to Karen Kong and I'm father of two kids, Adam and Helen. I wanna take, so mine's not exactly a testimony, but there's a verse that I wanted to share before I start, which is from Matthew chapter 25, verse 23. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things, I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." The reason why I want to share this verse is because, first of all, it's pretty fitting to stewardship, but it's been an encouragement and also insightful verse for me, for my life. One of the insight to the verse is pretty obvious. If you are faithful to God with small things, he'll put in charge with you big things as well. And it's very obvious because we do that in our life, whether it be at work, with our friends, or with our family. Like, you would not meet somebody for the first time and tell them your deepest secrets. You would first tell them your normal things and see how faithful and trustworthy they are, and then once they have been proven worthy, you tell them more things, and you entrust them with more things, whether it be just your secrets or just caring for each other and living with each other. And God does the same way, but I found myself really forgetting that at many times, especially nowadays. With having two young kids, it's so easy to be caught up in the busyness of life. That's been the biggest challenge in my life recently. Not that I actively do something against God, but that I just simply forget because he's not a priority. It's so much easier to say, well, I gotta go. I gotta take care of my kids because my wife's been home with them all day and she's tired. I gotta make sure I spend enough time with them. And then before you know it, they're in bed and we have to spend our time together. And then it's all of a sudden 10:30, 11 o'clock, and I go to bed and I don't even realize that I really haven't spent any time with God. And during Stewardship Sunday, I think it really is a great challenge, a reminder for me, and a challenge for you guys as well, that we have to learn to be faithful in the small things. In the stewardship form, at the bottom side of it, there's a list of many ministries that you can volunteer for. And I really feel like this is a great opportunity for us to realize that we have to be faithful with the small things, because it's another form of discipleship as well. Like everything else in life, no one is great at something as soon as you start. No one picked up a basketball and, you know, could be the star right away. You have to practice. And same thing with being a disciple of God as well. Now, I know that all of us are in different parts of our lives. There's things that we are all working on. Same thing with giving in monetary forms as well. I know that people are in different times of their lives, and that's the reason why we have a section that says, we're aiming towards tithing, but we can't right now. And if you have any questions about that, feel free to reach out to me. I don't want anyone to be just giving out of guilt or serving out of guilt. We should be striving for doing what God wants us to do, but at the same time, everybody's in different parts of our lives. So my information's in the form, so reach out to me if you have any questions. And in the same way, in the stewardship form, I hope that you remember this verse, that we have to learn to be faithful in the small things. And we can do that by volunteering and helping out in little things now, and the hopes that in years to come, maybe you would be the leaders in those ministries. And going along with what Pastor Jin said earlier, God really doesn't need any of us. God can do anything. I mean, right? That's pretty obvious. But we forget. So stewardship is really, I believe, for us, for our own discipleship, for our own learning to put faith in God, for him to save us through it. Let us remember that. Thank you.
I'll just say one more thing about for those of us who have grown up in an immigrant church, and you know we have a good number of Kenyan families that have been part of our church over the years, and other groups. Tithing is not like an extra commitment; it's just something you do as a Christian. And it's really shocking for me as someone who grew up in a Korean church context to find out that in the broader American context, it's really something that very few Christians do. The reason I say that about the cultural difference is that for those of us who come from more communal backgrounds, giving collectively to be shared by everyone is just a part of life. It's not an option. But in individualistic societies, it's an option. So I feel like the values are flipped. But the main reason why I think that tithing, for me, even if our family was seriously in debt, we would not tithe. Any more than, it's not like when we're in debt, the government says, okay, you don't have to pay your taxes now since you're in debt. I mean, taxes, which is part of the collective good of society, is part of what we contribute to make society function. How we spend that money is a whole different conversation, and I have strong, you know, quibbles about the priorities of our nation. But that we contribute to the common good as participants of this society, that we contribute to the common good of this congregation that we're a part of, is to me just an automatic kind of thing. But the thing is that we are not obligated to do it. Unlike the government, we're not obligated to give to the church. And when we have issues with the church from the past, or we have issues with religious authority, or we have issues with God's self, then we can work that out. We don't need to give anything, not even one penny, until we work that through and find some healing. So no one needs to feel obligated to give. However, out of my own experience since I was a little child, much like Kendra shared, and even Tao, because she had to start her childhood, really her emotional childhood, through this church, which gave her space to be a child. From my own experience as a third grade boy, mowing the lawn and then getting $5, and then being instructed by my father to tithe that $5 to the church, right? That it is not about the church needing 50 cents. It's a discipline that helps us understand and put into perspective our income as not our own, but God's. In fact, it's all God's, and we give a portion back as a constant reminder that God is the author and sustainer of all of life. And the reason why we really encourage everyone to tithe, meaning at least 10% of our income, to our community confidently, is because I truly believe it does more good to the giver than to the church as an institution itself. This church is endlessly flexible. If we reduce our offering in half, we're going to flex with that and figure out a way to be church. If we lose our building or lose our salaries, we're going to flex with that and figure out how to be a Christian community together. But when we, as Christians, don't give to our common good what we can, we rob ourselves. We rob ourselves of the kind of fullness of life and faith, of joy, of community that is possible. So if anybody wants to, you know, I mean, if anybody needs time to heal, that's always an option. And if anyone wants to see if we can fund our own lives, if that 10% can be used better, if we think we can manage that 10% better and be more faithful with that 10% ourselves, we can opt to do that too. But for some of us, from childhood to the present day, we know that that little portion that we give to our common good through the church that we believe that Jesus is helping us to be a part of. We know at the core of our being that that is best for our own soul. So that's why we encourage our people to tithe. We don't talk about it much here, just once a year really. But it is a very strong and clear reminder that we believe in this church that is the very best thing we can do. If we're tithing and we run into trouble, that collective good comes back to us, as you've heard. Even if we're not tithing, it's going to come back to us, okay? Because there's not a quid pro quo system here. Even for those who are outside our church, when it's appropriate, we will share our common purse in that way. But when we give what we are called to give, and then we have need and the church comes to our aid, then we really experience the fullness of what Christian community can be. So I really encourage us to take the testimonies that we've heard seriously, and if we haven't done so before, to make that commitment and to test the Lord, as it says in Malachi, and this community too, to see if we're not faithful to each other's needs. So thank you all. This is a high commitment church, and we don't have a large congregation, but we have a large core. This is something we talked about in our new member class yesterday that I'm very proud of. We don't have as many members as some other churches, but we have such a large core group of people in this congregation that are committed to faithfulness and to being an enduring and faithful community as a people of God. I'm so, so very proud of that as your pastor. So let's joyfully make our pledge today and give what we can, and trust that if we are doing it with a good heart, whatever it is, the Holy Spirit will honor that, and it will contribute all to our common good. So thank you all for that. Let's say a prayer together. Lord, we thank you for this day to reflect on certain scriptures as we've heard, the testimonies of our members, reminders of your goodness in our lives, and how we are called to serve you, which really means to serve one another, because after all, what is it that you really need? But your heart is for our welfare, and you call us to come together and to share what we have, to contribute to the needs of the saints that all of us are, and those even beyond this congregation. So thank you, Lord, for your constant reminder of your goodness, and that you are Jehovah Jireh, the one who provides for all of our needs. Help us, Lord, to do that well and in a good way, so that we can participate in the living out of your gospel, which truly is good news for all humanity. In Jesus' name, amen.